the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the Lord, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. And it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive his word not only up here, but also in our heart and live it in our lives. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, it gives Lisa and I much pleasure to be with you. We bring you greetings in Christ's name from your brothers and sisters as far away as Indonesia. I will share with you a bit more about what the Lord is working in Arab and Muslim lands, which the media does not tell you, but the gospel is indeed advancing among Muslim people. We are living in special days when the Lord is opening the minds and hearts of many. We bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Iran, where the church is growing but needs much teaching. There are single congregations in each of Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Sultanate of Oman, and there are believers, yes, faithful believers, meeting quietly in places like Saudi Arabia and Yemen. And I bring you greetings from the large Presbyterian communities. Some are in Lebanon. The ones who were in Syria are quite scattered recently. But many are in the Nile Valley, in Egypt and Sudan and Ethiopia. I bring you also greetings from brothers and sisters, growing in number from Morocco, especially Algeria and Tunisia. And pray for those who scattered after the troubles began in Libya. We had two congregations that don't exist there. It is indeed a wonderful thing to look at God's word this morning. And Psalm 24 begins where the Bible begins. It claims, appropriately for us to think about this morning, where the Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And as you go through the first two chapters of Genesis, you would realize that the Lord created the universe for a purpose. He had in mind, he planned before time to have a special creature. And that creature was Adam and his descendants in his own image and likeness. So God has a right indeed to claim the entire universe, but especially that special creature. God created things before man, but for man. And David was aware of that, even as the Holy Spirit inspired him and as the Holy Spirit preserved these words for us. The Lord had a deep desire for fellowship with this special creature. But something went wrong, as you and I know about the terrible news. David looked around and he asked this question. The Lord made this wonderful creation, preserved it, but man, for whom he created everything, is separated from him, and he longed to see closeness to the Lord. And so he wondered, how can anyone approach this holy triune God, this holy almighty God, this holy God of providence, the merciful God, the God of grace? And he came to a conclusion that must have initially disturbed him, that should also initially disturb all people who come to know the truth. In order to approach the presence of God, in order to have fellowship with God, notice what the psalm tells us. You must have clean hands. You know what that means. You must not have done anything wrong. And you must have a pure heart. You know what that means also. It means you must not have desired anything wrong. And you must not have lifted up your soul to any idols, to anything that is false. You must not have been consumed by that which takes your whole commitment, your whole mind and heart. And you must not have sworn deceitfully. You must not have said anything wrong. And David looked at himself in desperation, as you and I would. No such a person exists. No such a person is sinless. And he was shaken. And then he said, oh, I wish there were such a person. If there were such a person, he would receive blessing from the Lord. In fact, he would be endowed with righteousness from the Lord. He would be declared righteous. Furthermore, if there were such a person, a sinless person, he could actually claim all of Israel, the Israel of God, all the elect people of God. Yes. The entirety of the people that belong to the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the true, living, holy God. Oh, David, yes, wished to see such a person. And then the Holy Spirit opened his mind and heart, and he saw one. What a wonderful psalm this psalm. It tells us the whole thing about the plan of God. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, David saw this one coming triumphant, gloriously triumphant. There is such one. It's a new Adam. The one already promised to come to defeat the evil one. The one who was promised to come through woman, the seed of woman. The one for whom God called Abram the Hebrew to begin a line to prepare for his coming. Abram was the father of one nation. That was his name. And God said, no, no. You are going to lead to that seed, the coming of the seed through whom my promise to you to bless all families of the earth would be fulfilled. So your name is going to change. It's going to become Abraham, the father of a multitude of nations. Now, brothers and sisters, this is how the gospel begins, the New Testament begins. Go see it for yourself. Don't just believe what I say. Look at it. The gospel of Matthew begins by listing to us that seed who was promised to come. Yes, the one given a new human soul in the womb of the Virgin, in the womb of Mary. Yes, he breathed into her womb a new Adam, and that one is not only one who is a perfectly sinless new Adam, but one who is God himself. Because when Isaac asked his father, where is the one animal to be sacrificed? And what did Abraham say to Isaac? The Lord sees to it. The Lord sees to it. It was the conviction of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of David, of Joseph. They did not know the details you and I knew. But 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations through which the kingdom, the Davidic earthly kingdom with all its terrible events that reflected the depravity of man, that kingdom had to be gone to prepare in 14 more generations, even through suffering. And then came 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus. And he came. Yes, he came. And by himself confronted the evil one in the wilderness, hungry, tired, lonely, Unlike the comfortable first Adam, he conquered the evil one. He remained sinless. For 33 years. And then, when the time came, he was to complete his victory over the spirit of the arrogant world, over the devil, and over our last enemy, death itself. David did not see in detail what you and I read in the gospel and understand, but he knew this promised seed of the woman coming through the line of Abraham. He would come, and he saw him already triumphant. He saw him and he said, "This is the one." And now, that which separated humanity from the holy God has a new beginning. It has someone who could claim it, someone who could open the gates for it. And you remember, brothers and sisters, what happened when Jesus breathed his last. The veil that separated the holiness of holiness from God's people was torn from top to bottom. That's why Jesus could say, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. I am the gate. I am the door." And so David sees this triumphant one. He says, "To these gates that separate God's people from the presence of God, you must get out of the way. Open up." Here comes the triumphant king. Yes, our prophet, priest, and king, the Lord Jesus. Now he's ready. He enters heaven and he says, "Here I am, and the children you have given me." Brothers and sisters, look at what David saw. Who is this one who has the right for the gates of heaven to open up for Jacob, for the Israel of God, blessed from all families of the earth? Who is this one? He is described here as the Lord, the King of glory. He has triumphed. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Are you fearful about what is going on in the world today? Evangelical Christians must remember what Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." Who is reigning today? Jesus is King, the triumphant one. He has power over all things, but he works by the power of his spirit and his word gently. He doesn't need military power. He doesn't need political power. He does not need economic power. But he reigns. Yes, he conquers hearts and minds. And those who oppose him, with the evil one, are like dogs on a leash. They're only allowed as much liberty as they end up serving the advancement of his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, the psalm here sings of another question. It concludes with another question, and the answer to it is different. Notice what it says. Who is this King of glory? It is no longer the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord strong and mighty, but the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory because he established a mighty army of gospel believers, of gospel proclaimers, a mighty army who bear the sword of the Spirit, a mighty army who conquer by the power of the gospel. It is the power of God. And that's why when Peter answered Jesus about who he is, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, you could not say that alone. It's not out of you. You have been empowered by God. You have been enabled to understand and even enabled to utter these words. And these words are the conquering words, the words that order the gates of hell behind which the elect people of God are enslaved. Yes, they hear the gospel, they recognize the voice of Jesus, and they follow him. And the evil one cannot stop them. The gates of hell open up, and they are liberated by the one who alone enables people to be free. The one who alone, by the power of his word and spirit, yes, makes people desire the truth. Now, those who are the hosts of the Lord, they are sinners like you and me, brothers and sisters like you and me, sinful people who are redeemed by the sinless one, the Lord Jesus. His righteousness is accounted for you and for me. Yes, this is the entirety of the people of God. And it's interesting how the Bible begins and how it ends. Yes, Abraham was promised blessing for all families of the earth. And you look at the book of Revelation as the gathering of people, the redeemed ones, and notice what they come from, where they come from every tongue, from every tribe, from every kindred, from every nation. This is the one and only kingdom that will have no end. That is the Davidic kingdom promised to David, a kingdom eternal, enthroned over which is the true David, our prophet, our priest, and king. Hallelujah. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. We thank you for making us servants of yours and for bringing us the great joy of the gospel. Thank you for this union with Christ that supersedes any other earthly bond, as you have made us one in him. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And church, let us stand and let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power